The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness for all, but they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Before it's too late, there's not long.
The great Steve Voss. You know, your dial is set correctly to the National Intel Report. I'm Vincent Finelli. I'm sitting in for John Stadtmiller, the godfather of alternative radio. And today's broadcast is a little different. Let's talk about saving money and making what you have last longer. And I'd love to hear from you what your thoughts are. The number, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. With us today is Mike Parsons. He's in Tennessee. He's a farmer. So you have two farmers on the broadcast today. Welcome, Mike Parsons.
Greetings, Vincent.
You know, Mike, it's great to hear your voice. And for those who are new to hearing our voices, we broadcast right here on Republic Broadcasting. You can hear us from 6 in the morning Central Time to 8 in the morning, 6 to 8 a.m. Central Time. And we talk about preparedness, we talk about survival, and we talk about what you can do to help yourselves. We talk about the problems and we talk about the solutions. And Mike Parsons is a farmer of a number of years. He's a pilot, and I as well am a farmer. And we thought we'd share some thoughts with you, and let's start with this. And we'd like you to call in with your thoughts of how to save money and how to make things last longer. So just before the broadcast, I mentioned to Mike, I called him on the phone, and I said, you know, Mike, I bought some light bulbs. And as you know, Hillary Clinton is one of the principal architects of killing the incandescent light bulb. She's one of those who decided that we shouldn't have them anymore. Instead, we should have those compact fluorescent light bulbs, and which have been eclipsed by the LED light bulbs. And the problem with the compact fluorescent light bulbs is they say they last 7 years, but they don't. If you have them in recessed lighting and you have them with the base up, so upside down, the electronics in the base get really, really hot and they cook, and those light bulbs don't last very long. They also don't like being turned on and off. You know, turn them on, go in, you know, into the bathroom, a couple minutes later, turn them off. They don't like that. Now, the incandescent light bulbs are probably the best light bulb for that. But, of course, Hillary has destroyed that. So I was on eBay a couple of years ago, and I saw I could buy 1,000 light bulbs. you know, that could be a lifetime supply. But there was a problem with them. The problem was they were 30 watts. So not too bright, but that's okay with me, 30 watts. But the challenge to overcome was those light bulbs were all 230, 240 volts. So I'm sure that everybody looked at these light bulbs that you could get for 10 cents a piece, shipped 10 cents a piece, 1,000 light bulbs for $100 shipped. But they were the wrong voltage. I thought about it. I thought, you know, I'd really like to have those light bulbs. So I bought them. And all I did was go to the circuit panel and I rewired the kitchen with just, I added one more circuit breaker to the panel. The kitchen lighting is all on the same circuit. And I went to the circuit panel and I added one circuit breaker and I converted the kitchen circuit from 120 volts to 240 volts. And I went into the wall switch box in the kitchen and I configured that for 240 volts as well. And you know what? Those light bulbs work great. So the point of that is that there are opportunities that you might not see initially, but if you apply a little more thought, a little more logic to that, you might find that you can get a fabulous deal. Because how much are light bulbs today? If you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, you're probably going to pay, if you can find any incandescent light bulbs left, maybe a dollar a piece or more. 10 times more than I paid. What do you think, Mike?
There's a lot of things that people can do. If they just look around, they'll find alternative ways to utilize the resources that they have. Because, you know, right now there's a lot of people that have absolutely no preparation whatsoever, and they're not going to be prepared when the need arises. Those people that are preparing, they can take it a step further. They can go to the next level where they can try to be mindful enough to and flexible enough to be able to adapt to the ever-changing environment. Today on USAPrepares.com, I listened to both hours, and the second hour I found quite intriguing with Miles from Europe, and he talked about things to come. And Miles has a unique perspective because he has, contact with a certain groups of people that seem to want to run things around the world. And so when he talks in such a way that you have the ability to read between the lines and you know that there's something impending that you ought to be prepared for, it just gives you that much more of a incentive to hone your skills, to be sober, alert, and prepared for anything that comes down the pike. And as a former manager with Federal Express, it was all about contingency planning, having preparations in advance so that just in case something happens, you're prepared. Just like your 240-watt light bulbs, how many people know how to go in the breaker panel and modify that circuit? Because you can take a three-wire circuit, two insulated wires and a ground, and you can make that 110 circuit a 240-volt circuit if you know what to do. And perhaps you might keep the lights on just because you happen to run into a vast supply of 240-volt light bulbs that nobody else wants because they don't know how to use them. But that could be for anything.
Yeah, another thing that that I was thinking about in the kitchen, I think we have, maybe 14, 15 of those. Sometimes they're called can lights. Sometimes they're called recess lights. But it's on one circuit. And when we built this house, I wired the kitchen that way so that, let's say I wanted to change the kitchen to a 12-volt lighting system. Well, the wires are in the circuit panel. They go directly there. So all I have to do is feed them with 12 volts and then change out the light bulbs to 12-volt lights, and I'm done. So a little bit of planning ahead of time really makes a big difference in the long run. And Mike, you were telling me about your farm, and you were saying that you wanted to buy a small farm, but you couldn't afford it. So you bought a bigger farm. How did that work?
Well, we wanted 30 acres. We knew how much land we needed for the number of horses and our wolves, and 30 acres would be the perfect size amount of land. So we could, you know, farm, we could have places for animals, and it would be the perfect size. But everything in the area in West Tennessee was $10,000 an acre and up. And so we weren't able to afford that. And so we kept looking, and we saw all these large tracts of land, 200, 300, 400, 500 acres, $1,000, $1,500 an acre, and some even less than that. So we kept looking, and over the course of 10 years, we ran into things. But, you know, some things you miss out on. I missed out on 160 acres at 600 an acre by 20 minutes. And, that's how it goes, literally 20 minutes. So we came across a property that was 80 acres, and I was able to acquire it for $1,500 an acre because the other landowners in the area had bought similar properties for about that same amount. And so, and because we were just going to build a house and raise our family and move our parents out there and turn it into a homestead, the family we bought it from had had it in their family for over 100 years. So, therefore, they liked the idea of it going to one family, not being split up into a bunch of small tracts for mobile homes or for a subdivision or for a golf course. And so they were more willing to, they actually sold it to us for half price. And boy, the neighbors weren't too happy with that. So, you know, that might be part of the problem I have with some of these folks around here, but that's life. You know, you make your offer and you go from there. But I wasn't looking for 80 acres, but that's what I could afford. I couldn't afford 30, so I ended up with 80. Blessings come in all shapes and sizes.
Mm-hmm. And Mike, that same logic applied to you when you wanted to buy a tractor. Same thing with me, that you know, these small farms, these 10, 20, 30-acre small farms, typically, a person would buy a, 20, 30, 40 horsepower tractor to go with that farm, and the implements would be of the same size as the tractor. You match the implements to the tractor. So small farm, small tractor, small implements. Medium-sized farm, you know, medium-sized tractor, medium-sized implements, and so forth. Well, the problem, Mike, and you found exactly the same thing that I did, that tractors in the 40 horsepower range are really expensive per horsepower, but bigger tractors are less expensive per horsepower.
Yeah, we ended up with a tractor that nobody wanted simply for that reason. Most people, they fell into the one of two different categories. They had the 5 to 10 acre estates, and they needed a 25 to 50 horsepower tractor. And that would do everything they needed. It would cut their grass. It would grade their driveway. It would even operate hay baling equipment if they wanted to do that. And they ranged anywhere from $10,000 for an older unit on up to $50,000 for a brand-new 50-horsepower tractor and beyond. And then at the other end of the spectrum, the commercial farmers, they need tractors designed to pull the largest plows and planters and harvesting equipment, and they range from 150 horsepower and up to several hundred. And, you know, the really, really inexpensive, worn-out ones are at $50,000 for the really small ones, but they go up to over $300,000 for the new ones. And I ended up with a 1978 Case 1175. Well, it's a six-cylinder turbo diesel that produces 126 horsepower, and I paid $5,000 for it. I couldn't touch anything in the smaller horsepower category for $5,000 except things that were needing repair and or were just totally useless. But it was a situation where I was right in the middle. I was too big for the small stuff and too small for the big stuff. And so what I got was what nobody else wanted, which turned out to be perfect for me.
And there's a time that when you buy things that that's optimum for, well, generally optimum, and that is when no one else is looking. For example, when I was looking for our farm, I looked in the middle of winter. It was freezing cold. No one was stomping around looking at farmland in the middle of winter because, number one, the farms didn't look very good. They looked really bad because, you know, the leaves had fallen off the trees. The grass was dead. It was brown instead of green. But The good thing about looking for a farm in the wintertime is that you can see the farm. You can see what it really looks like. You can see the ground. You can see the trees. You can see how dense they are and so forth. And it's a much better time from that perspective, as well as there aren't a lot of guys and gals kicking the tires of these farms to buy them because it's too cold. And the same applies when a person wants to buy a car from a car lot. Now, there are other ways to buy a car or a truck, but if you're going to kick the tires on a car lot, the time to do it is when, in my opinion, is when no one else is there. And that would be right after Christmas, you know, at the end of January. Everybody's overspent. They bought things they didn't need for people they don't, or they bought things for people they didn't, they don't like, with money they don't have, because it's the season to do it, and they're conned into doing it through through marketing and advertising. So they're overspent, and those car dealer lots or car salesmen are looking for anybody to be a customer, and there's nobody there. So if you happen to show up, they are willing to deal more than they would if there were a lot of customers. That's just one thought on buying a car. But that applies to a lot of things, doesn't it, Mike?
Yeah, it does. I've always found that when I'm the only guy at the auction and I'm looking for something that nobody is looking for, I usually end up with it. And I find that if you go to these auctions listed on the internet or in the newspapers and they have an office for sale, a company's gone out of business, they're selling filing cabinets, typewriters, computers, printers, all that stuff, desks, those things. Most people that show up are looking for those types of things. That's what they expect to find. But what most people don't realize is they usually have an office staff, a secretary, somebody that's going to run errands, and they usually have something like a small car, usually a minivan of some type for hauling stuff around, running errands. And those are the auctions I like to go to because usually I'm the only one that's bidding on the vehicle, and if it's an absolute auction, I can usually pick it up for very little. And I try to find that the exception is my truck. I did buy a truck at an auction for a utility company that had about 120 Dodge 2500 trucks for sale. And so you realize at the front of the line, you're going to have the people with the most money that want the truck with the lowest miles. They're going to pay the most. And at the very end of the line, you're going to find the dogs that are wore out that have mechanical problems that not too many people are going to want to buy except maybe for parts. And just ahead of those that are still running, might have some dents and dings. Not a lot of people bidding on those. And so back in, I guess it was 2008, I bought a 99 Dodge 2500 for $1,500, four-wheel drive, automatic power steering, 360 engine. Everything worked. Had good tires, AC. Nobody wanted it. Of course, it was white, and it had some orange stripes on it with reflective tape. And when you put it in reverse, you heard a horn going off that was part of his safety equipment because it was a utility vehicle, utility company, electric power company. So, you know, I didn't care about that. It's, to me, it's basic transportation. And as you said, Vincent, I'm a pilot, and back when I was a manager with Federal Express, virtually every pilot, now I've got a lot of friends who are FedEx pilots, former pilots, and some still active, and they do quite well for themselves. They make a very nice paycheck. They're taken care of very nicely. But virtually every one of them will drive to work in what they call their airport car, which is basic as it can be transportation that is rough-looking. It's just something to get you there, and you don't care what happens to it when you leave it in the parking lot. If it gets stolen, no big deal. If it gets the windows broken out, you don't care. And that's the way pilots are, because most pilots, they struggled getting their hours, and you don't make a lot of money right off the bat. And so a lot of these guys, you know, came from very humble beginnings, so they're very, very frugal with a buck. And when it comes to...
Hold that thought. We're going into a break. And when we come back, Tom in Florida, you're on with Mike Parsons and me, Vin Finelli. We'll be right back.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go.
We're back and we've got Tom in Florida, and then we've got Mike in Colorado up next. Tom in Florida, you're on with Mike Parsons and me, Vin Finelli. Welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. First off, they're bombing all these demon rats are saying that Trump's not competent, but I heard Hillary has seizures all the time now. I think she bumped her head or something, and she's got lionitis. And, what's going on here in South Florida is Hillary, the liar, well, on the talk shows down here in South Florida, they're talking about another Mariel boat lift Mariel 2 if Hillary gets in. And I heard La Raza Nada is promoting all the illegals they can in Mexico and Central America to be ready to rush to the border probably the first day she's sworn into office.
So
you got probably 150,000 Marilitos that got Cuba's going to try to sneak in, just like Jimmy Carter. So actually, you got Clinton and Carter, the same of same cloth, cup of the same cloth. And these dum-dum whiteys are going to allow that. You got these dingbat whites, women are going to allow the usurping of the American finally to the bitter end. I mean, it's bad enough here in South Florida, but pretty soon it's going to be the whole state of Florida, Georgia, Alabama. It's all going to be Latinized. And let me tell you, by the way, they're not Latin. The Latins are Romans. They're actually Scottish. They're Hispanic. Okay, let's get that straight. It's all been a perpetrated lie by this lying stinking media for the last 50 years. And McCarthy knew there was a bunch of communists, and Holly was run by a bunch of Zionists. And, you know, they're not for our promotion. By the way, why are we spending $50 billion in Israel when we can't defend our own border? Why are we giving $50 billion for them to have nuclear warheads, but we can't defend the border of the United States of America and keep all these illegals out?
Obviously.
It's annihilation of the white northern European male. That's what it is. They're trying to usurp us. And like John Adams said best, he's a president of the United States, the second president. With a gun, you're a citizen. Without a gun, you're a subject. And that's what these imbeciles don't realize. I mean, you got a lot of white people selling out. And it's disgusting.
Hey,
and the founding fathers are disgusting. The people at the war are my father.
Hey, Tom? Hey, Tom? Are you there? I'd want to make sure he doesn't have a stroke. But my question for Tom is, does he have a gun on him right now? Do you have a gun on you right now, Tom?
Yeah, I do, buddy. I don't believe it.
Good for you. I believe it.
Do you?
Of course.
Wait a minute. You know what Joe Biden said? You're better off getting a double-barrel shotgun and calling it off. You have an assault weapon. Didn't Joe Biden say that instead of having an AR-15? You have a double-barrel shotgun and saw it off?
Yeah, Joe Biden recommended that we all have a shotgun and we can protect ourselves with a shotgun. And then what happened was I think someone shot or some shots were fired at his house and he panicked. He panicked because he's the guy there in the Situation Room where they go beat up small countries and drop bombs on them. And I guess that's pretty cool when you can watch, you know, via the safety of a bunker, watch us blow up small countries in a safe place. But when his house gets shot at, he panics. Hey, Tom, thanks.
Brother, I appreciate you worrying about my health, but I take a bale of aspirin every day, and Joe Biden's the one that said you can go to a pawn shop and get a shotgun for $50. Remember that?
Well, I have never been able to buy a shotgun for $50. The last time I bought one, it was I bought it privately, and it was over, maybe $265 for a used...
Well, I guess where Joe Biden comes from in Delaware, you can get a shotgun for $50 at a pawn shop. I read that in the paper. He said, you can get a shotgun under $100 than where I've come from. You can turn it into an assault weapon. That was out of Joe Biden's mouth.
Well, okay? Joe Biden is a known plagiarist. Tom, thanks so much. I've got other callers on the line, but I appreciate you calling in. Mike in Colorado, you're on with Mike Parsons and me, Vin Finelli.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Vince. I appreciate your conversation on frugality.
Well, you know, we don't talk enough about it. And the reason Mike Parsons and I decided to do this today is because we are broke. And I'm talking collectively, we are broke. We have been lied to, cheated, stolen from by people who we thought were, you know, protecting our interests. We hired these people who now have guns pointed at us, and they're stealing every way they can from us, including Hillary Clinton with her new tax plan. If she's elected, if she's selected, it's going to be horrible. But wow, we're going into another break. I'm flying by the audio here at the National Intel Report, and Mike Parsons. So, Mike in Colorado, can you stay with us through the break?
Yeah, for a second, sure.
Yeah, please do. I'm Vin Finelli. Mike Parsons is with us. We'll be right back.
No reason to get excited.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Colorado, you're on Mike Parsons and me. Welcome.
The reason that I called, not only did I appreciate your conversation about frugality, but I was a kid of the 70s and 80s, and I was brainwashed into excessive thinking about material items and huge debt and missed bills and creditors chasing me and all these things. And what did it for me was I really went and looked at nature as my teacher, and you guys being farmers will absolutely know this, that nature wastes nothing ever. Nature understands economy better than we ever will. And so I tried to model my activities after that, and after a while it became second habit to me, but I found myself with more money than I needed and fewer things than most of my peers. And my life has turned out really happy because of that. So I think when I look to the nature as my guide, especially with economy, it's really worked out well.
Mike Parsons, you have a comment?
No, I agree 100%. The idea of the things that most people perceive that they need are really just a reflection of what they see in their community that others have, and they want to be like their neighbors, and so they tend to get 30-year mortgages and car notes and other things that destroy them financially. And I've never had a car note, and other than the brief time that we had a loan on the property, we try to live on what we have, and if we can't afford to buy something, we don't. And we don't just look for things to spend money on. Of course, we've got a farm, we've got a lot of animals, so we learn how to take care of them with what we have on the farm, and so we find natural remedies to be the most cost-effective ways. We've got goats, and so instead of running a bush hog through, you know, a bunch of bushes, we let the goats loose, and they take care of business. So there's, you know, a lot of ways that you can save money that has been going on for thousands of years. It's just like the old man, you know, was talking the other day too. It's just a matter of rediscovering what the old folks did years ago and put it to practices now.
Right. Right.
Well, yeah, and for me, I think that's why you, Vince, when you fill in for John, is so fantastic, because your perspective of that, I think you're probably a naturalist by nature or by trade or whatever, and then that is really important to all these listeners, because most of us live in the suburbs or in the cities, and we are so far from that. Unless we actively go pursue it, we're not going to get that back.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting what Mike Parsons just said about the goats. And Mike, you've been to our farm here in Missouri, and we have a front lawn. And what I do is I let the front lawn grow up, and then I call the cows over. I say, come on, and they respond, and they go, okay, we're right there. And they come over, and I let them eat the front lawn, and they trim it as well as a weed whacker would trim. And they mow the lawn and they fertilize it, and within a couple hours, the whole front lawn is cut, mowed, trimmed, and fertilized. Now all I have to do is take a chain harrow with a small tractor and ride around and redistribute that fresh manure. And as farmers, we don't even waste cow poop. We don't, because it's valuable, and we reuse everything. And Mike in Colorado. I wasn't always a farmer. I am a first-generation farmer. You know, my parents had occupations. They had jobs. And I'm a child of the 1950s. But what I saw is what you and Mike Parsons have seen, and that is nature. You can't fight nature. It's too big. It's too powerful. And we'll lose every time in the long run. You know, we might win in the short run, but in the long run, nature wins. So,
I think it's our best teacher. One more quick thing with those fluorescent bulbs you're talking about. The worst thing about them is the mercury in them, and if you read the box about what you're supposed to do if they break, you would never, ever buy one.
Well, yes, you're absolutely right. And not only that, there has been an evacuation of a section of a school where somebody dropped one. You know, they called in the hazardous material people, and they evacuated the students from, you know, one of those breaking. And you're absolutely right. Who hasn't almost broken or broken a compact fluorescent bulb? And who brought that to us? Hillary Clinton. Now, we didn't have
that. And the government wants to mandate it. Good grief. Thanks for the show, guys. Keep up the good work.
Hey, thank you, Mike in Colorado. So if you'd like to share with us your tips, your suggestions for being frugal, for making things last longer and saving money, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Mike Parsons, something that I've taught all my students in every single one of my physical classes, so if I were teaching high school or college classes, I would always weave into the class something that I learned in finance class back in the 1970s, and it was called Mini-Max Regret, Mini, M-I-N-I, Max, M-A-X, Regret. And what it means is minimizing your maximum regret. And I'd like to share the concept with those listening to us today. And that is, you know, so you're in your car or your truck, and you're on the interstate, and this pickup truck passes you and pulls in front of you, and there in the back of the pickup truck is a ladder. And you look at this ladder and you go, geez, it's hanging off the back there. It's angled upward. I wonder if that thing's tied down. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe it is. But I don't know. And then you think, you know, I wonder if one of those tractor trailers that's behind us is going to pass us, and the gust of wind from that tractor trailer is going to lift up that ladder in the pickup truck in front of us, and that thing's going to come flying out of the back, and it's going to go through the windshield of my vehicle. So, you know, I wonder about things like that. So what is mini max regret? And that is, as you go through life, thinking about what your maximum regret would be. Well, my maximum regret at that moment would be wearing that ladder through my windshield. So what would I do to minimize that maximum regret? Well, you know, you can back off, get off the gas pedal, and, you know, put some distance between you and that truck in front of you. Find a time that's safe to pass it and get out of the way, so that if that ladder does fly out, that you're not going to be involved in that crash or that fatality. Well, if you expand that, think about when you get in your vehicle. Okay, so you're gonna go someplace. You're gonna go shopping, or whatever you're gonna do. You're gonna get in your car or truck, and you're gonna hop in the seat, and you're gonna put your seatbelt on, and you're gonna back up. Well, how many of us have looked behind the vehicle before backing up? How many have looked at the tires before leaving our homes, our driveways, or from work to come home? How many have looked at the tires? How many have looked to see, you know, what is that stuff underneath that engine? Is that from me? Is that my engine doing that? Or is that the guy there before me? So what I do when I pull in a parking space is I look to see if there are any oil drops or, you know, any fluids, and I notice that. And then when I get in my vehicle to leave, I walk around the vehicle. I walk around the vehicle, and I look at the tires. I look and see if there's any fluid that has leaked from the front, the back. And I also look in the vehicle to see if anybody's in there that would be a surprise to me. And that's what I do. And, you know, if you do that, you can probably avoid running over a pet, a wagon, a bicycle, a child. Just a thought. Mike Parsons, your thoughts?
I was thinking of all the various times I regretted not doing those very things, such as 5 minutes before the show when my glass of iced tea sitting here on the desk seemed to be an obstacle for my all-natural mouse control, otherwise known as a cat, mm-hmm. and it took a spill. And then, of course, it was, I guess it was November of last year, I was at the Chinese factory and had gone in for just a minute, just long enough to put some money on a gas card to get some gas. Came right out and, you know, looked, because I'm 6'5", I can look over this Ford Taurus that I've got. You've seen my car.
Yeah.
I looked over it and beside it and everything, but I didn't walk around it. And I wish I had, because directly behind the car in the blind spot that I couldn't see, beneath the car was one of these little bitty self-propelled scooters that they have for the customers who need a little bit of help getting around. And somebody drove one of these out there and parked it directly behind the car, wedged up against a bumper. And so when I backed out, I heard the scrape. And then when I got out and looked, and certainly there's the little scooter wedged up against the car. But had I walked around, that wouldn't have happened. So, you know, we do the best we can, and sometimes the best just isn't good enough. We have to go a little bit further. And I do a lot of the things that you do as far as checking the tires, looking to see if there's something under your tire, or you know, if your car is set up for a while or truck, you might not have the same tire pressure. If it's gone from a hot day to, you know, the temperature changes different times of year, you might have a tire that's low and you need to air it up. So, yeah, I try to do the same things. But, of course, after my most recent stint at the Crossbar Hotel, a lot of the things that I would normally do seem to have, you know, taken a back seat to just trying to regain a lot of the faculties that I had that were lost due to starvation. So I guess I can use that as my excuse for the moment.
Mike, you mentioned tires, and I'd like to share with those listening to us today. You know, if you look at your owner's manual for a vehicle, it'll have the recommended tire pressure, and then it'll say, you know, if you have a heavier load, you can increase the pressure a little bit. Well, those tire pressures are designed for maximum comfort. They are not necessarily designed for maximum tire life and nor maximum miles per gallon. And so if you think about how many of us have used a hand truck, you know, where we've moved a refrigerator or something, we go, geez, these tires are flat. Boy, this is hard to push. Really hard to push because those tires are flat. You know, if I could only put some air in them, inflate them, it'd be a lot easier to push. Well, it's absolutely correct. So, and the same thing is true with your vehicle. So if you have a car or like truck, if you increase the tire pressure greater than the minimum that's recommended by the manufacturer, which is what I do, what I do is I look at the tire itself, and it says the maximum pressure that the tire can be inflated to when it's cold, meaning when the tires have not been operated. That's what cold means. It doesn't mean cold outside. It means not being driven or operated. So if you, early in the morning, if you want to check your tire pressure and you want to increase the pressure to close to the maximum that the tire is rated, then what will happen is it's easier to roll and you'll get more miles per gallon. Absolutely no question about it. It works. And another thing that I do when it comes to tires is whenever I buy tires for a vehicle that's new to me, I don't buy new vehicles just as you don't buy new vehicles, Mike. But whenever I buy tires for a vehicle that's new to me, meaning I bought a used vehicle, now it's time for tires, I will I'll buy tires that are larger than the standard size for that particular vehicle in most instances. So what happens is if the tire is one size larger, the tire will rotate fewer revolutions per mile than a smaller tire. It will handle, generally speaking, a heavier load. And you'll get more miles per gallon, generally speaking, if you do that. The other thing, so that's increase the tire pressure. That's what I do. By the way, don't believe anything I say. Make sure that you check out and verify for yourself that what I'm saying is accurate. It is, but as a disclaimer, so should someone get hurt or something, it's not my fault. Another thing that I've determined is the tailgate on a truck. You know, Mythbusters say it doesn't make any difference. You'll get the same miles per gallon tailgate up, tailgate down. Absolutely not true. They're wrong. And if you think about it, what would it be like if you had a half a sheet of plywood and you were trying to run with that? Would that be easy? I don't think so. The wind resistance would be significant. It'd be very difficult to run with a half a sheet of plywood. Well, think about your tailgate. How hard would it be to run with, you know, something that that with that much surface area? So if you're traveling 55 miles per hour or more, you'll find out that if you put the tailgate down, you will increase your miles per gallon about 1 to 2 miles per gallon. Now, the faster you go, the greater the savings. However, the faster you go, the more fuel you're going to use anyway. So that's just a thought. But, you know, if you're going to be driving a lot without a load in your pickup truck bed, you might want to take the tailgate off. And I certainly don't recommend leaving the tailgate down if you're on a bouncy road, because that bouncing of the tailgate is detrimental to the hinge mechanism on the tailgate. Your thoughts, Mike?
We bought the Mistas a truck back in 2005, and she drove it for about a month, and we bought a fiberglass tonneau cover. During the time that she had it before the tonneau cover, she was getting about 23 miles to the gallon, and as soon as we had the tonneau cover painted and put it on there, and that's a fiberglass topper, it probably weighs, it's, you know, at least probably close to 100 pounds, I'd say, or you know, 75 to 100 pounds, it's heavy. But the mileage increased to about 25 miles to the gallon on the highway. And because of her routine driving to and from work, going into town, she had the ability to see immediately the difference in the mileage. And so over time, the tonneau cover was paid for itself in just fuel savings. Plus, of course, she's got a way to put groceries and other things in the back of the bed of the truck, and if it's raining, they'll stay dry, and certainly there'll be that added security because it's got a lock on it. So sometimes there's things like that that you can invest in that will ultimately pay dividends. And I know that you were speaking the other day about air filters where, you know, some people will spend an arm and a leg on these large 4-inch, 3-inch wide, really thick filters that cost a lot. But you were saying how you could spray just a regular, inexpensive, off-the-shelf 1-inch thick filter with Indust and then blow the dust out of it periodically and keep reusing the same filter. And effectively, that filter will last for a long, long time, and you'll save a lot of money. Plus, you're going to get more filtration because of just applying the Indust, which creates, an ability to attract the dust particles.
Yeah, what I said, Mike, was that in our house we have a number of these furnace filters. We have a couple of heat pumps that provide heating and cooling to the house, and we also have an outdoor wood furnace. But when we come back, I'll tell you a little bit about how I handle these furnace filters and how I don't think I'm going to have to buy any more ever. And how long have we been using the ones we have? 10 years. 10 years. Going on 11. Mike Parsons and I will be right back. And if you've got some thoughts about how to be more frugal, how to make things last longer and save money, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'll make you a deal. Give me 60 seconds and I'll give you directions to the Fountain of Youth. Okay, I'm joking. Well, kind of joking. No fountains, but youth, I got. Nature's Youth and their premier anti-aging product, Nature's Youth RSF. With your sensible diet and exercise plan, Nature's Youth RSF can help you look and feel better. RSF is an all-natural amino acid supplement that supports your body to naturally increase HGH levels without any synthetic hormones. And elevated HGH levels can contribute to increased energy, improved libido, reduced body fat, and improved exercise capacity. Let's be honest, who doesn't want to look and feel younger? Visit the newly designed website at naturesyouth.com or call 800-333-6923. That's 800-333-6923 and like them on Facebook and you'll be included in contests and exclusive offers. What a deal. Oh, speaking of deals, my time's about up. 800-333-6923 or naturesyouth.com. Who needs a fountain anyway? Call today.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Okay, we're back. And Tom in Philly, Tom in Philadelphia, why don't...
Hey, everybody.
Hey, glad you're here.
Mr. T, Johnny's friend.
Mm-hmm. Glad to have you on with us. Yeah, How can we help?
Yeah. Hey, listen, you were talking about, it made me think of a couple of things. You were talking about, you know, following vehicles with ladders kind of hanging off and stuff like that.
Sure.
People need to keep your eyeballs open because I have found two chop saws, a skill saw, all kinds of hand tools, three ladders, including a 40-foot extension ladder on the side of the turnpike in perfect shape. You know, sometimes you see them, they get run over, but I found a $600 chop saw laying on the side of the turnpike in the grass.
Wow.
I found full 5-gallon cans of gas, you know, just unbelievable amount of things that people are careless or, you know, they're not in business for themselves and it's the employers paying for it and they don't really care or whatever, but...
You know, I think you hit the nail right on the head in two counts. One, people are careless, and two, it's not their equipment. It's not their possessions. It belongs to the boss, so who cares? It's just, you know, it's somebody else's. And that's wrong.
Paying for it, yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The other thing is that I know people kind of think like, you know, oh, I wouldn't be caught dead doing this, but I have found more things that people throw away, especially if you're going through a little bit more of an affluent neighborhood. I picked up a washer and dryer for my wife that was in pristine condition. I mean, it didn't have a scratch on it. It was at the Harvest Green washer dryer set. Took it home. All it needed was a thermal fuse because they had let the exhaust, you know, the vent pipe get clogged up with lint, and it overheated and popped the fuse. Mm-hmm. So for $12, we had almost a brand new washer dryer set we used for probably 8 years or more.
You know, there's a you're in Philadelphia. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm outside. I'm up in Valley Forge.
Okay. Well, there is a very large auction. It's 60 acres, I believe, in New Jersey, a place called Englishtown, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a flea market. I go there all the time.
Okay. Well, it's huge. And I know that if you get there at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning and you decide that you're going to walk the whole thing, you're going to be walking until maybe 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Literally, I kid you not. And no matter what, years ago, no matter what you wanted, you could find it there. If you wanted a canoe, it was there. If you wanted an engine, it was there. If you wanted a tailgate, it was there. You might have to walk the whole thing, but it was there. You might have to go there both Saturday and Sunday, and it was free admittance to the guests and the exhibitors or the vendors, and paid $4, $6, or $8 for 10 feet of
tailgaters.
Yeah, yeah, and what they did
was...
Well,
you're in the ham radio, right? You're a ham operator, right? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, and that, you could find that there.
You go to the Ham Fest. You got the Ham... You ever been to a Ham Fest, like Dayton Ham Fest?
No, I haven't been to that one, but yes, I have been to those events. But here's the point I was going to make. So at this auction, Englishtown auction, it started during the first Great Depression, and farmers would go there and sell their wares. Well, it continued and continued and kind of morphed into those who would go to the wealthy neighborhoods with their pickup trucks on the big trash disposal day. So the washers, the dryers, the chandeliers, the furniture, the dining room tables and chairs, everything you could possibly think of that the wealthy that had more money than brains, they were throwing these things out. And people became entrepreneurs by driving their pickup trucks around on the trash days and then would bring some of that to Englishtown Auction. And it was unbelievable. I mean, literally, if you wanted to buy a roll of 250 feet or 500 feet or 1,000 feet of Romex wire or wire to build a ham radio antenna, or you wanted a ham rig, you could find whatever it was. It's like one-stop shopping, but it was 60 acres, and it was probably going to be used. That's when we had more money than brains. Now, we don't have so much money, and we have to use our brains because most of us are broke because the government is much of what we have.
Yeah, they're stealing it before we get it. Well, when I used to live in Jacksonville, I used to work for an auto shop. I don't know if you might remember it. It was called Woolco. Woolco and Woolworth, so they had their own little automotive division, Ameron.
Huh?
And I used to work there, and people would come in, and they'd get new tires and stuff. And I'd like, look at these tires. You know, they're only like halfway down. I don't care. Put new ones on. So I would collect all the tires and take them to the weekend of to the ham fests. I mean, not the ham fest, but for the flea markets. And mm-hmm. I couldn't get enough tires to sell. I would sell out every tire that I could bring there every week. Mm-hmm. And one of my neighbors, he has a schedule. He actually has a route every day but Friday.